like to welcome you to the Harris & Harris Wealth Finance and Stilettos teleconference series. My name is Zenelia Harris, certified financial planner and president of Harris & Harris Wealth Management Group, a firm focused on the financial success of professional women who are going through various life transitions. The Finance and Stilettos teleconference series highlights dynamic and powerful women of influence whose stories I feel should be shared to motivate, encourage, and enlighten women executives and women business owners so they can make healthier professional and financial decisions. My guest today is Sophia Duffy. Sophia Duffy is the Dean of Academics and Assistant Professor of Business Planning at the American College of Financial Services. In her role, she oversees all academic projects and course revisions, determines curriculum and academic policy matters, maintains a network of highly qualified faculty and adjunct instructors, and monitors the quality of teaching and faculty course development. She also works with the live delivery team to identify staffing needs for courses, and she oversees the department budgets. In 2015, Ms. Duffy was appointed Interim Chief Academic Officer, directing all matters relating to the academic unit. Prior to that, she served as Assistant Dean of Business Affairs with overall responsibility for sourcing and coordinating all academic projects and products for the college, overseeing the examinations department. Prior to joining the college, Ms. Duffy was a senior auditor for several years, providing audit and compliance oversight for PricewaterhouseCoopers, Aramark, and the University of Pennsylvania. She received her Juris Doctorate from the Temple University James E. Beasley School of Law and her Bachelor of Science in Accounting from Rutgers University. She is currently a certified public accountant. Let's welcome Ms. Duffy. Welcome to the call today, Sophia. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. So I want to get started with learning a little bit more about your professional progression. So please explain to me how what you have done in the past has led you to becoming a key professor with the new Wealth Management Certified Professional Certification.
Sure. So as you mentioned in my intro, my background is in accounting, and I worked in the public accounting sector as well as private for several years. I attained my CPA license a few years before I began the process to go into law school. And
okay.
During that time, while I was in the public accounting in the accounting field, I moved from doing internal audits as part of the Sarbanes-Oxley regulations that came through at that time over to more specialized types of reviews with our nonprofit hospitals in the Philadelphia area, and then as well as in Aramark. So I obtained kind of a broad base of knowledge in different businesses, manufacturing, healthcare, and then I moved into the legal field. After I graduated law school, I became a faculty member at the college and used my background as a CPA in teaching estate planning, accounting, business valuation type of courses there. Soon after I started at the college, I moved into the assistant dean role. I'm still a professor, but I moved into the assistant dean role, and then, as you mentioned, into the interim dean, and then eventually the associate dean, and then the dean of academics position.
Wow. So we have something in common, actually. You've been quite busy. We actually have something in common. I actually used to work for PricewaterhouseCoopers as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, I wasn't on the audit side. I was on the consulting side. So when I saw that in your bio, I was like, oh, yeah, we have this in common.
I'm sure you agree. It's a wonderful way to start your career. You get wonderful experience. And I still keep in touch with many people that I worked with there. It's a good group of people.
Right, exactly. So talk to me more about the Wealth Management Certified Professional Certification. Like, you know, were you part of the committee who decided to formulate the certification? Like, how did you play in the role of this coming to be at the American College?
Great. So we had our incoming dean and chief academic officer, Michael Finca. When he started, that was his initiative that he brought with him. That was his understanding from the market as far as what our major client companies were looking for and what financial advisors really needed, which was teaching strategic planning for advisors.
Mm-hmm.
Many times the programs and designations that are offered focus on more of the investments as far as the technical aspects of investment and portfolio management. And the real difference between this program is that we focus more on the strategies to meet goals. And so that was his sort of brain, his child, I guess, when he came to the college. And so I was part of the committee that evaluated that idea. We held focus groups with client companies and with other interested parties. And that's really how it came to be at the college. And then my role specifically was to gather the faculty resources that we needed, the industry experts, identifying them, making contacts with them, and then really organizing it from within the college to get the final product out there.
Okay. So with the certification, what and the research that you did with the focus group, what do you feel the benefit is to the profession?
So the overall benefit is that we're teaching advisors to be more effective in helping clients meet goals. And so that's strategies as far as managing their client investments, strategies for if clients come in with specific situations. My input in the actual content of the program was largely with the business planning, estate planning side of it and financial analysis. So I was looking at topics like what do you do if a client comes to your office and they have a special needs child? Or
okay.
What would you do if a client came in and said, I've just learned that I'm getting divorced. How do I plan for that? And so these are the types of things that financial advisors are going to face. And teaching them to achieve those goals for their clients rather than, you need X number of dollars to retire, that's going to help your clients achieve their goals. It's going to help them become more satisfied. And then the advisors themselves will be more efficient and effective at what they're meant to do.
Yes, I love that. I love that because you're right. Mm-hmm. I do agree that a lot of the certifications out there do focus specifically on investment management strategies, and a lot of times we're not dealing with some of the real-life situations that clients are coming to us with, which is, I'm going through a divorce, and I just, how do I, map out my future without having my partner that I thought I was going to have for the rest of my life.
It's real-life situations.
Right, exactly,
mm-hmm.
exactly. So I love that. I love that. So specifically, okay, because I focus on women. When you look at the offerings within the certification, what do you see the benefits of us having it as a financial planner? How will this certification actually help us with helping women specifically?
Great. So we actually, as I mentioned, we have specific topics that are related, and I see that they're related in the context of women in particular. So one of the topics in one of the modules relates to single parents parents, who are taking or of any kind of dependent, for example. And we know that women, for the most part, are seen as the caretakers in the family. We also have content in there that's related to widows and widowers and
mm-hmm.
what types of issues are faced by that client population and how the advisors can guide the clients towards thinking about what might be on their plate, what issues they might be facing that may be a little bit different from another client who has a dual income household. And then there's also content in the program that's related to specifically for divorce, right? So what types of issues would you be planning for if your client was going through a divorce, or even if they were thinking about going through a divorce, how can you advise them, in the different aspects that they may want to plan for in that situation? So all of those topics relate to women in the sense that they actually tend to hit women harder financially going through a divorce, being a single parent, than they may with a man with a similar income or with a higher income.
Right, right. I totally understand that. Mm-hmm. And so with the certification, is there any ideas of how this could expand in the future? So, like, you know, is it going to be, like, you've already kind of mapped out that this is what it's going to be and this is now and in the future, or is this kind of like going to open doors where you're going to end up adding or changing the dynamics of the course based on the response of the market?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked that question. We have actually built the program on a platform that is extremely adaptable and very flexible. So we, for example, had a pilot program before the program was publicly launched, and we were able to change content based on the feedback from those pilot participants.
Mm. You I can, like that.
The initiative that we're taking right now is to update a lot of the content based on the tax reform that was just passed.
Yes.
So you can see that would impact it. So we have the flexibility to update that content in real time. We're hoping to get all of those changes out related to the tax reform, within the next couple of months so that that content is not sitting out there and it's not becoming outdated very quickly. And we also already have ideas for expanding the content based on just new things that are going on in the industry, in the U.S. economy, right? So we can see that there are topics in there that may need to be added about different types of healthcare planning if the, you know, exchanges are affected and things like that. So we have the ability to change the content, to add to it, and even to take things away that may not be relevant anymore.
Oh, I love that. I really do. Because, things, it's always changing. It never stays the same. And so you just want to make sure that you're always relevant. So I'm just, that's why I asked that question, because as a financial planner, you always want to feel like you're on top of your industry and what the trends are and what's going on. So that's good to know that you all have kind of placed in the program, this flexibility to expand as things change economically, as situations are changing with the with laws, especially the new tax law that just was signed in December. So that's a really good benefit.
Yeah, we actually designed it. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say we designed the program so that it is based. It's actually separated into topics or modules.
Okay.
As opposed to, your traditional chapter format. So we can actually just pop out a module, rewrite the content, and then put it back in the platform fairly quickly. And that we wanted to build it that way so that it is flexible and adaptable and move away from the traditional, chapter-based textbook format.
Okay. Well, so now, explain to me, how long did you all estimate it would take for an advisor or planner to actually go through the certification program?
This is an interesting question, because the answer is going to be a lawyer's favorite.
It depends.
It depends, exactly. And the reason I say that is when you go into the program, you actually take what's called a confidence-based assessment. So you may go in and take it's a quick maybe 30, 35 question assessment, and it will actually then map out a study plan for you based on what you already know and based on areas where you don't have stronger knowledge. So I may go in there and, test very well on the estate planning and tax planning side, but I may need more help with the investments content, and it will actually route me to that content more, and then maybe I can essentially, in quotes, test out of certain material. At the end of the program, though, you do have to, you are assessed on every topic, so you don't ever miss out on anything, but it really creates an adaptable, customized study plan for each person. So the reason I say it depends is because you may be routed to some content and be able to work through that very quickly. Other people may be exposed to more content, and it may take them a little bit more time. Overall, though, we estimate that the content is equivalent to between 2 to 3 courses of traditional college work.
Okay. Okay. So now I kind of want to go into to information about you personally, and you sharing a little bit more about you and your experience. So based on your your professional experience in the financial services industry, what are some tips you could share to others who are advancing their careers or want to expand their capabilities towards executive leadership?
Sure, great. So I have a few of mentees that I've had either over the years, and I currently have some. And one of the points that I try to drive home to them is, do not be afraid, especially as a woman, do not be afraid to reach outside of your comfort zone. So volunteer for projects, you know, that you hear about that just sound interesting to you. Talk to your supervisors about getting involved with other things that are going on around the organization. And don't feel like you have to hold back on something just because either you don't have the confidence or because, oh, well, I'm worried about how that may impact, you know, my work-life balance or my quality of life, because it will, what I say is it will pay dividends back to you in the future, right? So the showing that enthusiasm and that ability to reach outside, I think, is something that a lot of people struggle with, but particularly women, I think, tend to hold themselves back a little more just because it may be, it's not something that they're pushed to do. So that's the first thing that I tell them is to just let go of that fear, volunteer for things. I have three children on my own and they're all young, so I am constantly looking for that work-life balance. And one thing that I tell them is, you know, you hear that phrase all the time, is that it is a balance, right? You're never quite going to get it right, because even with a scale, it's always going to tip one way or the other, and you just have to keep working to try and make sure that we kind of get it to equalize over time. So sometimes you are going to be more focused on your family. My example would be this week. I've been home most of the week because all of us have had the stomach flu at one time or another over the past few days.
Right.
Thankfully, we're all on the mend. But you know what? I'll make up for it next week or the week after. And, you know, you just have to kind of find the balance over time. And so that's the number one thing that I tell people is that, you know, don't be afraid. Another thing, too, is that to try to make decisions for today as much as possible and not try to get overwhelmed with, well, what will happen tomorrow? So, younger woman came to me once and asked, well, I don't want to take this job because I may want to have kids eventually and I'm afraid that it will be too time-consuming. And I said, don't miss out on an opportunity today because of what might happen tomorrow, right? So take it. If that's what you want in this moment, take it now. And then you can figure out later, you know, what you want to do. But certainly something that's 5 or 7 years down the road is really just an idea at that point. So, don't miss out on today's opportunities, again, because of something that may happen later.
Yes, I am totally in agreement with that. I actually had someone on last year who talked about being present. And she was talking about, she was a psychoanalyst, and she was talking about a lot of times as women, we tend to have, anxiety about, things from our past and fears about the future. When right at this moment, you just should be present in the moment. What do you need to do right now? So, I'm very, very clear for me that what causes me anxiety is when I start getting out of being present in the moment.
Yeah, it can become so overwhelming, right? And you think, well, what about if this happens? What about if that happens? And I've heard women even say, I don't want to aim for a higher management position because it may become too, then I don't have the flexibility that I'm going to need when I want to start a family. But what I've told them is actually have more flexibility the higher up you get, right? Because you can kind of create your own schedule, and then at that point you have the credibility and the flexibility that you need, and people know kind of that you're good for it and that you'll get the work done. So that's been very, very helpful, at least for me, is having that ability to kind of manage my own schedule and then be able to spend the time that I need with my family and then also to get the work done. And, yes, that does mean sometimes I work really late, but after I go to bed, I'm get back online, but that's kind of the trade-off, and I'm happy to even have that option.
Right, exactly. It's amazing how life has changed even since I've started in the workforce, and how, you know, with the teleworking and being able to structure your own hours around your families now, you know, that doesn't just benefit women, but it also benefits men as well.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Right.
So share with us one of the best financial decisions you've made as a professional woman.
You know, this is an interesting question. I started getting a little granular when I thought, well, what really is the best financial, you know, is it investing in a home or whatever? But then I realized, I think just looking from a broader perspective, it's almost like what you would advise your clients is to diversify, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I mean that in diversification of experience. So, you know, I went from the accounting field to sort of specializing with nonprofits, and then I went to law school, and that. And I'm not saying everyone needs to, you know, jump around as much, but find what you like and then follow that path, and that can change over time. And that's okay, because as long as you are enjoying what you're doing, you will naturally, I think, be excited and motivated to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think diversification of experience is important, because once, you know, maybe things change and you want to enter into something else, you'll have a broader base of knowledge to go and do that. So, and, you know, not everyone, I think, you know, we'll talk just briefly about the education, you know, issues that come up with student loans and things. Even if you can't pursue another degree or something like that, you can pursue a continuing education designations like the WMCP, and that will still help you to get that incremental knowledge to go and do more things or something in addition to what you're doing now.
Yes, I totally agree. I think I'm like you. My professional journey has been a lot of different things all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, people didn't understand it. People questioned my decisions and as to whether or not I was making wise decisions. But I think that it gave me a lot of experiences that I bring to the table, and I also bring when I meet with my clients. So I am all for just kind of, you know, mapping out your plan based on how you feel at the moment. And because they are all experiences that you can build upon.
Exactly.
That's what life is about anyway. So.
Right. And, you know, just keep your goal in mind, whatever that goal may be, and that will kind of take you where you need to go to get there.
Stay focused on the goal. Always know where you're trying to go. Otherwise, you know, that going all over the place might not lead you to where you want to be. So always stay focused on the goal that you're trying to achieve. So my final question for you, and I love asking this question of anyone that I interview, because it's interesting, the tips that people provide. So what are some of the financial tips that you would like to impart with other professional women based on what you've learned?
You know, I probably won't be telling you anything groundbreaking, but just even having a budget in mind about how much you want to, you know, invest, just on normal expenses, certainly. But on a different note, I think to long-term, you know, we just talked about goals and kind of investing in your future. So to the extent possible, the investments are going to come back with getting increased knowledge and education. And that could even mean going to, you know, free seminars in different places. I also think it's important to invest in networking. So finding groups, local groups that you can go to, and even making those kind of cold calls on people, just say, hey, I think you're somebody that I might want to spend time with. You want to grab some coffee because your career path looks interesting, or, you know, and just doing that. And sometimes it's not going to work out, but sometimes it does, and that can lead to a meaningful kind of working relationship there. Another thing I would recommend, this isn't as financial, but it's surrounding yourself with good people who can help you achieve the things that you need to. So we certainly don't have time to do everything that we want to do. And so if you can get a good team of people in place, and so that you know, indirectly financially will benefit you to be able to rely on them and get your goals accomplished.
I totally agree with that, because I tell people you need to build your professional board of directors, your personal board of directors. And
I love that.
So you need to think about who are the key people that you need to have in your life in order to, like you said, achieve specific goals or just to have because they make your life easier.
Right, and that they provide you with good advice. And
exactly.
It's great to surround yourself with people who will tell you, no, that's not a good idea, right?
Right,
you don't
exactly.
want people who are always going to tell you that you have great ideas. So,
right.
And, you know, another thing, again, not directly financial, but I truly believe that if you are satisfied in other areas of your life, you will be a more productive person in your professional life. So I always say reserve some of your money for cheat hobbies, you know, just like you have a cheat day. You can have a cheat day with a diet. You should have a cheat hobby that just allows you to enjoy something. So whether that's, you know, belonging to a gym or going to concerts or movies or whatever it is, but reserve that and don't feel guilty about spending it as long as it's, you know, within your means. And then you can get that satisfaction and then feel more fulfilled, I think, and to do your other things.
Well, no, I totally agree with that as well, because a lot of times, well, I know for me, I felt like I spent my 20s focusing on trying to get somewhere.
Right.
And now when I look back at my life, I'm at a point where I need to live it. I need to, because life is about experiences.
And it's being in the present,
and I have
right?
I have to, again, going back to being present. And I think that focus really hit me because I have a daughter and wanting her to think about, you know, that you need to really enjoy the moments that we have in front of us, because you may not see tomorrow. There may not be a tomorrow, or we don't know what tomorrow will look like. And so you have, you know, so I like the fact that you add having a cheat hobby, you know, something that, you know, that you get to do that is enjoyable for you, that brings you some type of pleasure, no matter, you know, it could be, you know, depending on your budget or your cash flow. I don't really like the word budget, but your cash flow, you know, it could be, you know, being part of a gym and going to the movies with your girlfriends, or, you know, attending a concert with your significant other or with your child or your children, you know, or your girlfriends, but doing something that is just for you, that makes
just
you happy, that brings you pleasure. That all makes our lives, you know, you look back, worth living, because those are the things that we remember, are those times that we spend doing something fabulous.
Right.
Or, you
and
know,
then,
as opposed to spending time, you know, or looking back and saying, I wish I had, you know,
and
life
I, you know,
with regrets.
I totally agree. And I fall into the trap, too, of, you know, I'll be sitting there with my children, and then I may hear an email come through on my phone. And, you know, I really have to.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone hears this, but I really need to say, okay, you know what, they're going to be asleep in an hour. I can check it then. And so that's, you know, I still struggle with that. I think everybody does. But being in the present and compartmentalizing what you can so that I can really just be spending time with them, doing puzzles with them, whatever they need. And then I know that, okay, I'll get to that a little bit later. And that, you know, helps to manage that. Again, it's the work-life balance. It's always going to be shifting one way or another. But it's but you know, that helps to maintain that over time. So I do feel like I'm present with them, and then I also can focus on work when I need to.
Right. I love it. I love it. So share with us a little bit more about how advisors and planners can learn more about the certification and get information, so if they're interested in participating, they can.
Great. So the information about the designation is available on our website. It's www.theamericancollege.edu. The program itself, again, is the strategies-based investment portfolio management. There's topics in there about investment management. There's topics in there about all sorts of things. There's estate planning, tax planning, charitable planning, and it's advanced strategies for that. So again, that focus on real life situations that you will encounter with clients, all focused towards helping meet those clients' goals, and to help them even maintain a flexible sort of life plan so that if circumstances change, the advisor will know what to do when their clients sit in front of them.
So let me just ask one last question. Will the advisor or the planner be able to interact with the professors that are providing the educational components to the program?
Oh, yeah. So we worked with a mix of internal and external experts. So the program itself has dedicated teaching assistants and instructor assistants, so you can ask any question and someone will be able to provide clarification and answers. And then we also have a good number of faculty within the college who helped to develop that content. So if it's something that the faculty should be getting involved in, then the student can certainly reach out to them as well with the help of the instructor assistant.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I just want to thank you so much for your time today, for taking time out just to share more insight about this certification that's coming out through the American College and explaining, you know, a little bit about the ins and outs about how the program is going to benefit the profession as well as how it's going to benefit the public. So I think that this is great, and I truly appreciate the personal component where you actually shared some insights into the things that you've learned in your career, in life, that are beneficial to the women who will listen to this podcast. So I truly appreciate it. So thank you again for taking time to join us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.